Good morning. I am Bryce McVicker, and with us today is Austin Norton, and this is the Game Fish and Parks radio show. Thanks for coming today, Austin.
Yeah, no problem. I think this is the second time in 2 or 3 weeks I've been down here to bless you with my presence, of course. So
I was thinking that when you volunteered that you probably didn't even have to volunteer, and you did anyway.
That's right. I enjoy these shows. So what do we got today?
How are things looking up in Webster? Did you get in on any of that big rain that we got here in Watertown?
We did, actually. I live south of Webster, about 10 miles, and the first big rain that went through about a week ago, we got almost 2.5 inches out of, and then just a couple days ago, we got about another 3/4 of an inch, so I've got some new trees that I planted that I are really liking it.
Good, good. Did it seem to help with any of the water levels anywhere, or are sloughs still kind of drying up and looking pretty shallow?
Our sloughs are pretty shallow and pretty dry. Of course, it's going to help out a little, but you know, going into fall with little to no water in these sloughs, it'll be interesting to see our precipitation this winter and how they look next spring when we have melting and runoff.
Yeah, I would agree. It will be interesting to see what next spring brings, and I hope it looks a little better than it does now.
That's right.
So you had a step outside this week. What was it, Tuesday night, Wednesday night?
It was Wednesday night up there at the Webster Claybird Club, and ended up having 21 kids show up. So it was a great time. The kids enjoyed all of the waterfall and waterfall classes we had, duck calling, shooting sports, turtles, turtle races, fishing, archery, trapping, just all sorts of stuff, and radio telemetry for tracking deer. So overall, had a great success, great time, and it was a good event.
Good. I know we've had some step outside programs in the region this year that I guess youth numbers have kind of been down a little bit. So it's nice to have a step outside program where you have 20 plus kids, because a lot of staff time goes into preparing those and coming up with good ideas and making them good events. So when you have enough kids there to fill a couple stations, it makes your night go a lot better.
Exactly. And I know some of these events, mine included, require pre-registration, and it's really helpful on the aspect of signing your kids up in advance, just so we know how many kids to expect and can plan accordingly, especially if there's food involved. Mine had we did a little hot dog feed with chips and water for the kids, and just wanted to make sure that we had enough food for everybody to have a full belly before they did all the activities. So it worked out good, and I guess we'll see what next year brings.
You must not have to wait an hour after you eat to shoot like you do for swimming, huh?
Oh, no. We go right into shooting, so kids are ready to roll.
Perfect. Well, one thing that me and you and some of the other officers in the region have been working on probably the last week to 10 days is trying to gain a little bit of compliance for aquatic invasive species regulations. We've kind of been in the education mode for the last year, and we've got the green light to start issuing citations. So we kind of went out targeting that over the last week and a half, and I would say overall as a region we're probably pretty disappointed in what we're seeing out there. For people pulling plugs, draining water, and that type of thing. Would you agree?
I would agree 100% with you, Bryce. Like you said, this past weekend we really went out and did some target-specific law enforcement, and quite frankly, I sat right at the Bitter Lake boat ramp on the southeast side there at our public ramp and watched the number of boats that came in, and it was a lot of boats came in, and a lot of boats had their plugs in still. So you can imagine there were quite a few citations issued, and a lot of, like you said, we've been doing education for the past year, so I made sure to, you know, talk to these people about it and see, were they aware of the regulation, were they not aware of it, and things like that. And it basically came down to that, yep, they were aware of the regulation. They may not have completely understood the regulation, yet they still knew that they needed to have the plug out of their boat. So to kind of make it as simple as possible, when you leave a body of water, the boat plug must be removed. And until you return to a body of water, that boat plug cannot be put back in. Very, very simple as far as what you can and cannot do. So we're really hoping, you know, this next weekend and in the future here that compliance gets a lot better and fewer issues down the road, because our ultimate goal here is just to protect the waters in South Dakota from these invasive species being brought into the state.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not a law. You know, it's not a safety law that we're usually enforcing. It's nothing like that. It's there because we're trying to help our fisheries out to sustain a good fishery for the next as many years as we possibly can. We know, unfortunately, that these aquatic invasives are probably coming, and every year that we can slow them down is another year that we're going to have good fishing around here. So it is really important. Like you said, the big excuse that we hear all the time is, well, I took the plug out when I left the lake, I went home to my garage, and then I pulled my plug, or then I put my plug back in, so I wouldn't forget. Well, if you're the kind of guy that can't get into the rhythm of putting your plug back in, then it's probably worth the extra money to go and buy one of those automatic boat plugs. That's going to keep you out of getting a citation, and most importantly, it's going to keep you from carrying around aquatic invasives when you go from lake to lake. A lot of people are already in the habit of taking their boat plug in and out. Me personally, I was never in the habit of doing that, so I had to get an automatic boat plug for my patrol boat, and works really slick for me, and I would probably be driving around with a plug in if I did not have that automatic plug. So works good for me.
Yeah, and they're cheaper than a ticket. So just be frank with everybody, the citation for that is $85. And these automatic boat plugs we're talking about typically run between $30 and $50. So with the ones that we have, it works great for our law enforcement boats, and they're put to really, really good use. So I always encourage you to do that if you think you're going to be one of those guys that doesn't think that he'll forget it. So
yep. So essentially what we're saying today is that our education on aquatic invasive species has come to an end, and we are being asked to go out there and really target these aquatic invasive regulations and issue citations for them. It's really not a question of, you know, what the purpose of having the plug is or when you put it in or anything like that. If you have a plug in your boat, you're going to get a citation. So that's essentially what we're saying, and you can expect to see more of us out there at the boat ramps and checking as you go into the water as much as coming out of the water. With that, we will move on to, I guess we can talk about fishing reports for a little bit. I've been up to Day County a couple times in the last week or two, and it seems like a little bit of the Bitter Lake traffic is moved over to Waw Bay.
Yeah, a little bit of that is true. Seems like the walleye bite is picking up a little bit more on Waw Bay, and they're a little bit bigger walleye as well. So we've got some anglers that have moved their pressure and I guess they're where they want to fish over to Waw Bay and trying to target some of them bigger walleyes. So a little more pressure over there, but as you can imagine, Bitter Lake still seeing decent amounts of boats, and I expect fishing on most of the lakes there to pick up come September or mid-September, along with shore fishing. Shore fishing has been pretty dismal last month and a half, so just with the warm water temps and everything like that. So definitely more opportunities for fishing coming up.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I have not seen near as many boats around in probably the last month as we did. Even around the 4th of July, the fishing was still really good all the way up until the 4th. And I'm not saying that it's bad out there right now, but just less boats and seems like less limits coming off the water as we've been going out here the last few days. Ponset's a good example of that. We went down and worked Ponset all day Sunday out of the boat, and there's a ton of boats down there, a lot of them targeting perch, and a lot of them just really struggling to get those perch to bite. But nonetheless, the small walleye were biting, and that gave folks something to do so they didn't get bored down there. So just not quite as easy fishing as maybe we've seen the last few Augusts in a row. I think about what dry lake number 2 did 2 years ago in August. It wasn't even really fishing down there. It was more or less catching.
Yeah.
So we really don't have a lake like that right now where you could just go out and be guaranteed to catch fish on a nice day. But nonetheless, you can go to Dry Lake Number 2. You can go to Indian Springs. You can go to Bitter, Ponset, and you're probably going to come home with some walleye. Whether or not you can catch a limit in an hour or two is probably pretty slim, but you are probably going to catch some fish if you put some time in.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. That's still a good day when you can. A good day out fishing is better than a day in the office, I think, is what I hear a lot of people say. So
that's what I hear them say, too. Apparently, they don't have a job as much fun as us.
Exactly. I'd agree with you.
Yeah. I'd rather be fishing today, actually.
Beautiful day out.
Never mind. Never mind. Anyway, let's see. A couple dates that are coming up here. We are past the deadline to have bait removed from tree stands. So we need to make sure that all that bait has been picked up out there. And the other date that is coming up is we can start in the middle of next week on August 25th to put tree stands out on public land. So for those archery hunters or even rifle hunters that like to go out and kind of mark their spot early, feel free to go out and start getting those tree stands set up on public land.
Please make sure that you do have your name on those, or I believe it's your license number on those. One way to mark it so we know whose stand it is. If you do not have any of that markings on there, and we're out there, whether it's patrolling, running into other hunters talking to us or whatever, and they say their stand's out there with no markings on it, they will be pulled down.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. And one way that a lot of those stands get found with no names on them is other hunters. You know, other hunters have gone through the work to make sure that they go out on the right day to hang their stand, and they do the right thing and label their stand. They find stands that are not labeled, they call us, and we go out and pick them up. So it is important to make sure that you have those stands labeled and make sure you have them out there during the correct time. That's a good point, Austin.
Yeah, and one more point on that bait, Bryce. Just a reminder, everybody, the 15th of August was when that bait needed to be removed. If that bait is still out there, that area is considered to be baited for the rest of the year and unhuntable. So if people see the bait still out there, we're going to find out about it. We're going to hear about it one way or another, and you know we'll go from there on how we handle it. So
definitely. And I would encourage any archery hunters that are going out to take a look at their new spot, maybe hanging trail cameras, etc. If they find bait out there, to give us a jingle, and we can investigate it accordingly. A couple more things here on my list. I guess last time we were here, did you talk about your pheasant route at all?
Yeah, we did talk about that a little bit. Now we are through our phase, if you want to call it that, for running brood routes. Now they're compiling all the data, and hopefully in the future here, not sure when exactly, we'll have the information back, whether pheasants are up, down, or the same as last year. In particular to my route, I know the pheasant numbers are down slightly, I believe. I'm not sure the exact number from what I had last year to this year, but nonetheless, there were still good numbers of broods on the route. And just throughout my general travels, saw some really nice big brood sizes. Chicks look good. So I'm pretty excited to see what our numbers come back at, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, definitely. I've been talking to other officers that have ran their outs. There's some ups and some downs, and I think once we average them all out, I can't see a big jump in our region, either up or down. I think it's going to be fairly close, but it'll be interesting to see when those numbers come out where exactly we're at.
Yeah, and something else that, you know, can play a factor in it, whether it's big or small, is some of the storms we've had that rolled through this year just after hatch and during those early weeks of their pheasanthood, if we want to call it that. We've had a lot of hailstorms going through up in the area by me. Some of these bigger storms that are dumping 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, 7 inches of rain definitely does not help those little chicks make it through to grow to adults. So some of that can play a factor, but definitely not the only contributing factor either.
Right. And in places like Watertown, Hamlin County, we've missed a lot of that extreme weather. So weather shouldn't be an excuse for our routes, so we'll see how they pencil out. Getting close here. I think we are 14 days away from goose season starting. Been seeing quite a few geese in the fields. I don't think many of the geese yet have made much of a molt migration in any direction. I feel like a lot of the geese that were hatched here are still around. I don't really feel like we've gotten new geese from any direction. I know that North Dakota started hunting last week, and there's always some speculation that when North Dakota starts shooting around on those birds that maybe that's going to push some down here. I haven't really seen much of a push yet, so it'll be interesting when September gets here what we see for hunter numbers. But I can say one thing, it's been a long time since I've heard so much excitement about opening day of goose season.
I'd agree with you. It not having that opportunity to go out and hunt, you know, August 1st or August 13th or whatever it was in the past few years, these guys are at home getting their decoy spread ready, getting their blinds ready, getting everything ready, and really looking forward to that opening day on September 3rd. And as they should, I think they'll have a pretty good opener, and you know, we'll see.
They've also been scouting.
Yeah,
there's been a lot of them scouting, a lot of them already getting permission for fields. So if you're have not been doing that already and you're looking to hunt on opening weekend, I would probably suggest going out and joining the masses of people out already scouting and locking down fields, or you might be kind of out of luck come the last couple days there. So obviously the geese are going to move around, things are going to change, but it would be nice to have some options come opening day, whether there's loads of geese in your field or not, but at least you'll have some options on places to hunt. Let's see here, one last announcement. Let's talk for a little bit about, in my opinion, one of our region's best youth hunting opportunities, I guess we'll call it. Casey Dowler puts on a youth waterfowl camp up in Britain. It's on the youth waterfowl opener, September 17th and 18th. And like I said, it's in Britain, 17th and 18th of September, which is the youth pheasant or the youth waterfowl opener. It starts on the 17th, so you'll show up in the evening and we'll have kind of an all things hunting demonstration. We'll let the kids shoot some clay pigeons. We will do some duck calling demonstrations, goose calling demonstrations, decoy setting demonstrations, and then we have the U.S. Fish and Wildlife come in and put on a waterfowl ID class, which is probably one of the best waterfowl ID classes that I've personally ever been to. Is there anything else?
I think dog training? There might be a little dog training, but I think that sums it up for as much as the training goes. And then there's a good meal that they get put on for them too at the end of the evening.
Yeah, definitely. And then the following morning, you wake up well before sunrise, just like any waterfowl hunt, go out in the morning, and Game Fish and Parks employees take these kids hunting. And we usually put 2 to 4 kids in a group, and it's essentially one-on-one. There's one adult almost to every student, maybe 2 students to 1 adult, depending on how many we have sign up. But a really, really good opportunity to hunt. Every time I've been involved, the kids shoot ducks. And as you can imagine, with 12-year-olds out there hunting ducks, if they're getting ducks on the water, they're shooting a lot of shells.
Yeah.
Because experience wise, they haven't shot a lot.
Yeah. Last year I was with Casey and 3 kids in the hunting blind that we were at, and they shot a 3-man limit of ducks. So you can about imagine the smiles on their face when we came out of the slough and headed back to the duck camp and got to show everybody their harvest.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's an absolutely great opportunity. If you've got youngsters around that youth waterfowl hunting age, give Casey a call at 881-3775 or call us at the Watertown office and we'll get you in touch with him. He only takes 30 kids for the event. Otherwise, we have a hard time coming up with spots. But nonetheless, if you've got some kids interested in waterfowl hunting, I would say this is by far one of the best events that we have, especially in the northeast part of the state. With that, I am out of topics. Do you have anything else, Austin?
I've got nothing else. I appreciate the opportunity to come down here and talk with my new district partner. And just hope everybody has a fun and safe weekend.
I would agree. We will be back same time, same place next week.